A second chance. 7. Thus Ajamila was trained in his youth to offer respect to the spiritual master and his elders. This is one of the symptoms of sadakara. Gentleness is another symptom. In other words, he was friendly to all living beings. A real Brahmana is the friend of everyone, even an ant. In this regard, there is a story about Narada Muni and a hunter. Once Narada Muni was passing through a forest near Prayag, and saw that many animals were lying half dead. Feeling compassion for the suffering creatures, he cried out, "Who is the culprit who is killing these animals, leaving them to die in this way?" The barbaric hunter Mrigari answered, "Dear sage, please let me do my business. If you have come here to beg for a deer skin, I shall give it to you." But Narada said, "I haven't come to beg anything from you, but to ask why you are only half killing these animals. It is a great sin. It is better that you kill them outright." Mrigari replied, "My father taught me to kill them like this. I did not know it is sinful." Narada said, "Yes, it is very sinful. You will have to suffer very much for it." The hunter became thoughtful and asked, "What should I do?" Narada Muni advised him, "Give up this nonsense business." Mrigari protested, "Then how shall I eat?" But Narada Muni said, "I shall provide you with food." The hunter agreed, "All right, if you give me food, I can give up this business." Narada Muni then requested Mrigari to sit down on the bank of the Ganges and chant Hare Krishna before a sacred tulsi plant. Narada Muni went to the nearby village and announced that a pure Vaishnava was now chanting nearby on the bank of the Ganges. Upon seeing Mrigari sitting and chanting peacefully, the village people said to one another, "He has given up his hunting business and is chanting Hare Krishna." They began coming regularly to the bank of the Ganges to visit Mrigari. Someone brought rice, someone brought dal, and someone else brought fruit. The food began to pile up. The hunter Mrigari wondered, "Why is Narada Muni sending me so much food? I have only myself and my wife to maintain." Thus he began distributing the food, chanting Hare Krishna, and distributing prasadam daily. He became a perfect Vaishnava. This is the system introduced in this Krishna consciousness movement, chanting the Hare Krishna Mata mantra and distributing prasadam. In every temple of Krishna we do this. After some time, Narada Muni called upon his friend Parvati Muni and said, "I have a very nice disciple who was a hunter. Let us go and see how he is doing." Parvati Muni agreed. When the two sages approached Mrigari's house, they saw that he was jumping this way and that. Upon seeing Narada Muni, he prepared to offer obeisances at his feet, but before he did so, he took the edge of his dhoti and gently brushed away the ants crawling on the ground so as not to crush them. He had been jumping because he was trying to avoid stepping on the ants. This was the very man who a short time before had been tormenting all kinds of animals, yet now he was not prepared to kill even an ant. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. So, Ajamila had this quality of gentleness, which is prominent in Brahmanas. Also, Despite all his training, Ajamila was not proud. He was free of a ahankara, or false ego. The very word ahankara means I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and therefore I have become so big. Ajamila was free of this attitude. Nor was he envious. In these degraded times, everyone is envious of one or more persons. But Brahmanas like Ajamila are free of this propensity. Only when one has acquired these Brahminical qualities, and is accustomed to Brahminical habits can one expect to be liberated from material bondage, ruined by sex attraction. Unfortunately, as related in these verses, Ajamila lost his Brahminical status. Once, as a young man, Ajamila went to collect flowers and other articles for deity worship. His father ordered him, "Bring all these things from the forest." While coming back, Ajamila came upon a fourth-class man and a prostitute, who are vividly described here. Drunkenness was sometimes manifest even in bygone ages, although not very frequently. In the present age of Kali, however, such sin is to be seen everywhere, for people all over the world have become shameless. Long ago, when Ajamila saw the scene of the drunken Sudra and the prostitute, he was affected, although up until then he had been a perfect Brahmachari. Nowadays promiscuity is visible in so many places, and we must consider the position of a Brahmachari student who sees such behavior. For such a Brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult, unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. Nevertheless, one who takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously can withstand the provocation of sin. In our Krishna consciousness movement we prohibit illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. In Kali Yuga, a drunken, half-naked woman embracing a drunken man is a very common sight, especially in the Western countries, and restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. Nevertheless, if by the grace of Krishna a man adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. Indeed, Krishna says that his devotee is never vanquished. Kantiya Pratijani Hunami Bhakta Pranasayati. Therefore all the disciples practicing Krishna consciousness should obediently follow the regulative principles, and remain fixed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then there need be no fear. Otherwise one's position is very dangerous. Ajamila had vowed to follow the regulative principles of spiritual life. But as we see, even when one is highly qualified there is the chance of a fall. Seeing the low-class couple engaged in public sex proved to be his downfall. Everyone knows that a husband and wife have sexual intercourse, but this should be done privately. Sex in public is animalistic. Similarly, sex with many partners is illicit. Nowadays illicit sex is common throughout the world, especially in the Western countries. A young girl thinks, "I will find the suitable man, attract him, and have sex, but I won't marry him right away. I will test this man, then that man. When I have found the one who makes me happy, then I will marry." This is the mentality of a prostitute. And similarly, the young boys are hunting for many sex partners. These are commonplace activities in Western countries, where the boys and girls receive no spiritual training. In such a cat and dog society, there can be no peace. All the leaders talk about peace, and they meet in peace conferences. But there can be no peace from conferring and passing resolutions. There cannot be peace unless the whole social structure is reformed, and that can be done only by Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is cultivated by good association, just as a degraded mentality is a result of bad association. As Lord Rasabhadeva says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5.52, Matat Sevam Dvaram Atavimat Stamodvaram Yasitam Sanghi Sangam, if we want to open the door to liberation, we should engage ourselves in the service of the Mahatmas, the pure devotees, but if we want to open the door to hellish life, then we can associate with those who are very attached to women. The lusty people of today's so-called civilized society do not care for Krishna consciousness. They do not care for their elderly family members. They indulge in sex in the street, on the beach, in the cinema. Sex is advertised constantly to attract the attention of the people. In this way, materialistic atheists add fuel to the fire of lust, and people are going to hell. So, Ajamila became degraded by seeing a low-class couple embracing. Because both the sudra and the prostitute were drunk, their eyes were rolling, and the prostitute's clothes were loose. Nowadays it has become fashionable to wear revealing clothing, but this practice is abominable. It simply makes the body more attractive for sex indulgence. It is said that, if one's body is smeared with turmeric, it increases the lusty desires of the opposite sex. The word Kamaliptina indicates that the sudra was decorated with turmeric smeared on his body. Because the sudra and the prostitute were rascals, they were not ashamed. They exhibited themselves freely, not caring for public criticism. They were laughing, smiling, singing, and embracing. And the young Ajamila saw everything when he passed by on the road. In modern times, sexual affairs of this kind are regularly shown in the cinema, and thus it is not hard to guess what kind of character is forming in the young men and women of today. By seeing these activities only once, Ajamila fell down. In this way, Ajamila's spiritual education and training were finished. He was stunned and bewildered. When Cupid attacks, all one's education, culture, and knowledge are lost. Therefore, one has to avoid this free mixing, lusty society. Kanakaya Pandita advises, always avoid associating with persons too attached to sense gratification. Rather, associate with those who are engaged in the devotional activities of spiritual life. For this reason, boys are sent to the Gurukula, the house of the bona fide spiritual master, who trains them in spiritual life from the age of 5. Unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, and proper bodily, mental, and intellectual behavior, Controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. Thus, after seeing a man embracing a young woman and practically doing everything required for sex, even a fully qualified brahmana, as described above, could not control his lusty desires and restrain himself from pursuing them. Because of the force of materialistic life, to maintain self-control is extremely difficult, unless one is specifically under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. Chapter 13. Ajamila begins his degraded life. The Yamadut is continued, in the same way that the sun and moon are eclipsed by a low planet, the Brahman Ajamila lost all his good sense. Thus he always thought of the prostitute, and within a short time he took her as a servant in his house, and abandoned all the regulative principles of a brahmana. Ajamila began spending whatever money he had inherited from his father to satisfy the prostitute with various material presentations, so that she would remain pleased with him. He gave up all his brahminical activities to satisfy her. Because his intelligence was pierced by her lustful glance, Ajamila engaged in sinful acts in her association. He even gave up the company of his extremely beautiful young wife, who came from a respectable Brahmana family. This rascal Ajamila, although born of a Brahmana family, lost his intelligence because of the prostitute's association, and thus he earned money somehow or other, regardless of whether properly or improperly, and used it to maintain her and her children. In this way he spent his long lifetime transgressing all the rules and regulations of the Holy Scripture, living extravagantly, and eating food prepared by a prostitute. Therefore he is full of sins. He is unclean, and is addicted to forbidden activities. Ajamila did not undergo atonement. Therefore, because of his sinful life, we must take him into the presence of Yamaraja for punishment. There, according to the extent of his sinful acts, he will be punished and thus purified. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.63-68. We must serve, but whom? As mentioned before, Ajamila was trained as a proper Brahmana from birth, and thus he was properly situated in service to his spiritual master, elders like his father, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But due to his association with a prostitute, he gave up his brahminical engagements and became a servant of Lord Krishna's illusory energy, Maya. There are two kinds of servants, Maya servants and Krishna's servants. Every living entity is originally a servant of Krishna. Lord Caitanya himself affirms this, Jivrasvirubhaya Krishnaranitya Dasa. The constitutional position of the living entity is to be an eternal servant of Krishna, Caitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 20.108. In this world, everyone is trying to be a master. Individually and collectively, everyone is trying to assert, I'm the Lord of all I survey. But this attitude is futile, because by nature everyone is a servant. Instead of becoming a servant of Krishna, we have become the servant of our senses. In either case we are servants. Therefore, those who are really intelligent think, If I have to work as a servant, why not be a servant of Krishna? Only the Krishna conscious devotee is sane, because he accepts his natural position as a servant of Krishna. Worship of Lord Krishna, or Vishnu, is the actual goal of Vedic civilization, but the so-called Vedantists do not accept this. They divert their attention to the worship of demigods, and advise that one may worship any of them. No. Even demons, asuras, sometimes worship demigods. Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but he was an asura. Similarly, Hiranyakasipu was a great devotee of Lord Brahma, but he was also an asura. Anyone who is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu is an asura. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Ajamila was a brahmana, which means that he was a servant of Narayana. In other words, he was a Vaisnava. A Vaisnava is one who recognizes that Lord Krishna is the supreme proprietor and enjoyer, and that everyone else is his servant. Just as the master is the enjoyer of his entire establishment, so Krishna is the enjoyer of everything and everyone in both the material and spiritual worlds. Actually, no one else is the enjoyer, no one else is in the position to enjoy. Krishna is the only enjoyer. When we forget our relationship with Krishna as his eternal servitors, we become servants of our senses. Following the dictation of our senses, we enter into the darkest regions of illusion, and are subjected to the punishment of Yamaraja. Sometimes our conscience forbids us, don't do this, but we surrender to our lust and greed, and thus we do it anyway. Krishna is within our heart, also dictating don't do it, yet still we do it. This kind of service to our senses simply brings suffering. Since we must serve, why not serve Krishna? Why should we serve our senses, which are never satisfied anyway? We should become servants of God, that is the perfection of life. Otherwise we shall be obliged to become servants of our senses and suffer. One who becomes a servant of Krishna becomes a Gosvami, a master of his senses. The title Gosvami indicates one who refuses to follow the dictations of his senses. Instead, he follows the dictation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as Rupa Gosvami and Sanatana Gosvami did. Gosvami is not a caste title. Before becoming a Gosvami, Rupa Gosvami served the Mohammedan government as a minister, and was consequently rejected by the Hindu Brahmana society. But when he gave up the dictation of Nawab Hussain Shah, to follow the dictation of Caitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord made him a Gosvami. All genuine Gosvamis are also Virajas, renunciants. But if one is unable to be a real Viraji, then he must become a Grastha, householder. It is not that one may pose himself as a Brahmachari or a Sannyasi, and at the same time, indulge in illicit sex secretly. That is abominable. If a genuine householder practices Karma Yoga, giving the results of his activities to Krishna, he will eventually attain the platform of perfect renunciation. He should not desire to enjoy the fruits of his activities, but should instead work as a matter of duty, thinking Krishna wants this, Krishna will be satisfied by my doing this, and therefore I must do it. This is the right attitude for a devotee. Arjuna was unwilling to fight for his personal interest, but when he understood that Krishna wanted him to fight, he took it as his duty. It must be done. It does not matter whether I like it or not. Krishna wants it, and therefore I must do it. That is the attitude of a renounced devotee of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18.66, Lord Krishna instructs his disciple Arjuna, "Just surrender unto me, and I shall protect you from all sinful reactions." And Arjuna accepts Krishna's instruction with the words Karasai Vakanam Tava, "I will do as you say," Bhagavad Gita 18.73. If we follow Arjuna's example, we will be in direct contact with Krishna, and we will be able to surmount all difficulties in both our spiritual and material life. We hear the instructions of Krishna via the unbroken chain of disciplic succession, Guru Parampara. Acceptance of these instructions is called siksa, or voluntarily following the instruction of the spiritual master. The independent nature of the living entity is that he does not want to follow the instructions of another living being, however pure. But when one voluntarily agrees to obey the orders of the spiritual master, one is following the orders of Krishna, and thus one's life becomes perfect. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, November 1727, Krishna says, "Akarayam mam vijanayan, navamani itakarhasat, namartaya budhaya suita, sarvadeva mayo girad." One should know the Akaraya as myself, and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. Thinking the spiritual master an ordinary person, and envying him are causes of the devotees falling down. Devotional service requires training under the guidance of a spiritual master, and this guidance is received when one surrenders to the spiritual master, inquires from him, and renders service to him. But these are impossible for one who envies the spiritual master, ruined by a prostitute, saved by the holy name. Ajamila was trained as a brahmana, but he lost his position as a brahmana by associating with a prostitute, so much so that he forgot all his brahminical activities. Nevertheless, at the end of his life, by chanting the four syllables of the holy name Narayana, he was saved from the gravest danger of falling down. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 2.40, "Svalpam apyasaya dharmasaya trayat mahatobayat," even a little devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. Devotional service, which begins with chanting the holy name of the Lord, is so powerful that even if a person falls down from the exalted position of a brahmana through sexual indulgence, he can be saved from all calamities if he somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord. This is the extraordinary power of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita it is advised that one not forget the chanting of the holy name even for a moment, Satatam Kirtayanta Mamyatantis Katra Devrata. There are so many dangers in this material world that one may fall down from an exalted position at any time. Yet if one keeps himself always pure and steady, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mata mantra, he will be safe without a doubt. Ajamila did not do this, and therefore he lost all his brahminical qualities by the association of a prostitute. Especially mentioned here is the effect of eating food prepared by a prostitute. Food prepared by an unclean, sinful woman is extremely infectious. Ajamila ate such food, and therefore he became sinful. Also mentioned here is Ajamila's misuse of his inheritance. Customarily, everyone is eligible to inherit his father's property, and Ajamila also inherited the money of his father. But what did he do with the money? Instead of engaging the money in the service of Krishna, he engaged it in the service of a prostitute. Therefore he was condemned. How did this happen? He was victimized by the prostitute's dangerous lustful glance. A chaste and faithful wife will give birth to good sons, who will then offer oblations to their forefathers, and thus deliver them, if by chance they have fallen into a hellish condition. The very word putra, son, means one who can deliver his forefathers from hell. Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu showed this by his example, when he went to Gaya to offer oblations to his forefathers. Even today there is a Vishnu temple in Gaya where such oblations are offered at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. There have been cases where one's father or mother took the body of a ghost at death, and after oblations were offered at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu at Gaya, the father or mother was delivered. However, anyone who becomes a Vaisnava offers oblations to Vishnu at every moment, and thus his forefathers are automatically delivered. If one son in the family becomes a Vaisnava, he can deliver 14 generations of ancestors and 14 generations of yet unborn descendants. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam.